All right, all you Israelite warriors out there, this is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this wake-up call is for the 20th of April, 2017. And the title of this particular wake-up call is Reality Check. I'd gotten back from Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I'm going to describe some of that a little bit later. And a lot of things were revealed to me that I need to reveal to you. Although we had a wonderful time just because of the Christian Identity Fellowship, there were some problems. Not due to personnel, not due to people, but due to Mother Nature. We are going to be facing the tribulation. Whether we like it or not, that is going to precede the second coming of our Messiah. That is a given. It tells us of this in Scripture. I'm going to read the Scripture to you and get all the Scripture verses done, and then I'm going to launch into what the sermon really is about. Let me have a drink of tea here and clear my throat. Mainly clear my throat. It's been a beautiful day today. I tried to record earlier today, but they were doing construction work in the building, and I could not because of all the loud noise. So this is late in the evening. I'm recording this on the 19th, before midnight. It's 10:51 p.m. my time. But let's get into the scripture verses for Reality Check. Here, let's read Matthew 24, verses 9. That is Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. These are going to be the conditions during the tribulation. Okay, now I will explain all of this in a little bit, but I want to read the verses first. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. And I am reading from the Scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. Okay, this is my favorite book of Scriptures because it's so accurate, and it is a Holy Name Bible. They have restored the Holy Name. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another. You understand? One another, and shall hate one another. So your friends will give you over. Okay, got that? Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. Here we are. Verse 12, and because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. Verse 13, but he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. Don't lose your faith. That's a soul killer right there. Now let's go to chapter 24, verses 16 through 22. Verse 16. Then let those who are in Yahuda flee to the mountains. Okay. Speaking of Israel in general, basically. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever out of his house. Ran out of time. Okay, you ran out of time. Verse 18, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garments. If you're not carrying your stuff around with you, you don't go back for it. You don't have the time. It'll get your stuff will get you killed. Verse 19, and woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing children in those days, because it's going to be pretty bad. And if you're carrying a little baby around, there's not going to be medicine. Not going to be a lot of stuff. I'll get into that a little bit later. Verse 20, and pray that your flight does not take place in winter, because it's going to be rough conditions, or on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to travel on the Sabbath. You're stuck. You have to stay where you are. On the Sabbath, you can leave the next day. But not on the Sabbath. Verse 21. For then there shall be great distress, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. This is telling you what's coming. Do you think it's bad now? Ha 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 ha. Verse 22, and if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the sake of the chosen ones, those days shall be shortened. For the sake of the chosen ones. That's Israel. Not the rest. Not the whole world. Okay, now let's go to the book of Revelation. Chapter 8. Verses 7 through 12. Now this is going to give you descriptions of what's coming. What's going to happen to this planet, not just one country, the whole planet on this day. Verse 7 of chapter 8 of Revelations. And the first messenger sounded, and there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Okay? Think you're going to gather firewood? Good luck. Verse 8, and the second messenger sounded, and what looked like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Can you say asteroid or comet or whatever? And a third of the sea became blood. That's verse 8. This is what's going to happen on the day of wrath. When the grace period is over, He's not going to tolerate it anymore. He's going to put the hammer down. This is what's coming. This is a reality check here, folks. Verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Want to go fishing? Going to be pretty stinky with all those dead fish floating. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10, and the third messenger sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Don't know what that is, but it sounds ugly. Burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the fountains of water. Now I'm going to explain something to you in verse 11. Verse 11, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Do you know what wormwood is? Wormwood is poison hemlock. It's deadly. And a third of the waters became wormwood. Won't be able to drink them. And many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. Read bitter as poisonous. Verse 12. And the fourth messenger sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. Going to be an eclipse or something similar. And a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. And a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. No stars at night. Now, you know what happens when the sun is cut off by a third? Now, you talk about your global warming. Well, we're talking about some real serious global cooling here, folks. It's going to get real cold everywhere, including at the equator. It's going to cut the sunshine that warms the planet and makes the plants grow. And it's going to get cold, like you've never seen cold. Now we go into chapter 9, verse 2. And he opened up the pit of the deep, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. Can you say volcanic clouds? And the sun was darkened, also the air, because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. These are not regular locusts. And authority was given to them as the scorpions of the earth possess authority. Now, here's verse 4. And I'm going to explain verse 4 in a minute. And it was said to them that they shall not harm the grass of the earth, what was left, or any green matter, or any tree, because they'd already been devastated. There was enough. But only those men who do not have the seal of Elohim upon their foreheads. Now, I'll get to that. I'll go back to verse 4 in a minute. Verse 5, and it was given to them that they should not kill them, but to torture them for 5 months. And their torture was like the torture of a scorpion when it stings a man. Now let's go back to verse 4, talking about the men who do not have the seal of Elohim upon their foreheads. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. The the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. I'll give you a minute to get there. We're going to be reading verses 4 and 6. Okay, Ezekiel 9, verse 4. Now, Ezekiel was talking about a man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side in verse 3. You can read that. And verse 4 says, "And Yahweh said to him, pass on into the midst of the city, into the midst of Jerusalem, and note this, you shall put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." These are the righteous Israelites that are outraged by all the sinning that's going on. Okay? These are Yahweh's chosen ones, the ones that are obedient and oppose the works of the devil. Not the ones that do apostasy. Now let's go to verse 6. "Slay to destruction old, young men, maidens and children and women, but do not come near anyone upon whom is the mark of Yahweh, and begin at my set apart place." So they began with the elders who were in front of the house that were worshiping the sun. They killed them. All right, all these sun worshipers, all these idolaters are doomed. They have had their time and they are going to be killed. No mercy. The time of grace is over. If you haven't made your decision at that time, it's too late. Too late. It's over. Those of us that have the mark of Yahweh, in other words, His Spirit within us, and we worship Yahweh and praise Him and call upon His name and acknowledge Yeshua Messiah and are trying to be obedient and not adding all these nonsense things that the churches are doing, the ones of us that are austere in our worship and have not added to or taken away any of the Torah of Yahweh and are obedient, keeping the feast days, these destroying creatures will not harm us. Okay, just these destroying creatures. But you heard me recite in Revelations what's going to happen to the planet. Now, we are to occupy until Yeshua comes. And He's not going to come until after all these things occur. Let's just get that straight right now. So what are we facing in this reality check? We are facing the overwhelming wrath of Yahweh, which is going to be unleashed at that time. The big cities are not going to be a viable place to live. If you have a house in the big city, you're going to have to abandon it. No point in even locking the doors, because they'll bust a door down and throw a brick through your window to get in. So why bother? If it survives undamaged, you're real lucky. If it gets burned down, well, it's stuff. Don't worry about stuff. Because when all of this ends, Yeshua's going to come back and everything's going to change. In that instant, in a twinkling of an eye. But we are the overcomers. We have to overcome all of this tribulation. We're not going to be vacuumed out of it in some rapture. We're going to have to go through it. And those who do not lose faith will be saved. Those that do lose faith and go over to the enemy and turn themselves in, hoping to get a better deal, or they're just so soft and weak, they're whining and crying about, I really want a hot shower and a hot meal, and I really want a hamburger and a beer. Not going to make it. If you go over to the enemy, you take the punishment of the enemy. Sorry. Doesn't mean that some of us are not going to die. Of course we will. Some of us will. But we'll be back. That's the whole thing. You have to endure even unto death. That's what Christ says. You have to endure even unto death. If they say, deny the Christ or we're going to shoot you, you're just going to have to say, shoot me. Yeshua is Messiah. Bang, you're out of that body. You're dead. But if you lived, you'd die anyway. But if you deny the Christ, you won't have the second life, the eternal life. You'll be resurrected to the second death. This is a reality check. I'm not trying to be warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely. I'm telling you how it is. How it's going to be, not my opinion. It's written right in the Scripture. It's going to be bad. Now, what did I find out at the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, we had horrendous cold rain for days. And they had tornadoes up north of us. And they had a hailstone go through Bardstown, Kentucky, and destroyed one side of the buildings in an entire community from that huge hail. Guys came down from Bardstown to camp after that. And their campers, their great, big, beautiful, expensive motorhomes, looked like somebody took ball-peen hammers to it. Just dents all over. Dents in the hoods of their fancy trucks and the roofs. Just terrible damage. My brother's greenhouse had a plastic roof on it, which he had just completed. Because he's doing a survivalist thing and he's growing all his own food. And when we got back to his place to unload his stuff, the roof was gone on his greenhouse. It got ripped off. That's how bad it was. Okay, so what did we do? We had prepared the day before the Sabbath to have cold meals on the Sabbath. I have a great big insulated thermos. I'm a coffee hound. I confess I'm a coffee hound. I boiled water before sundown when we had to have no fires. I had boiling water and I poured boiling water in this great big hot and cold container. Great big stainless steel jobby. Great big one. And I had hot water for coffee the next morning because we had no fire, because we obeyed the law not to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. It's obedience. Now, people came and went. Eli was down there, but he had meetings and stuff he had to go to on the intermediate days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You don't have to gather in a central spot. You can keep Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread at your home. But you have to clean your home out and have no leaven, no bread, no yeast, no crackers, no cookies. You have to vacuum and clean and wash and prepare for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because for these days you're not allowed to have any leaven in your house. If you're an Israelite, that's a law. It's not a suggestion. You must do this to be obedient. If you don't, then you are not obedient. Well, when I got back, I had to restock all my food. I used up all my food, so I didn't have anything. I cleaned this place from stem to stern. No leaven in my house. None. Even while I was gone. And we had matzah and Marilyn fixed some lovely unleavened bread. She cooked unleavened bread and brought it to the feast, and we ate on that all week. We had unleavened bread plus my matzah all week. In complete obedience. And we ate. I mean, we don't stint on food. We're not starving to death. But what we learned was bad weather conditions. Now, the bad weather conditions we experienced there are nothing compared to what's coming and what's told to us in the book of Revelations. And I keep telling people to prepare, prepare, prepare. And I don't know how many of them are listening. Maybe it falls on deaf ears. I don't know. No way to tell. I'm just preaching the word. If you don't prepare, don't whine and cry to me if you come near us about you being cold because you didn't assemble cold weather clothing. Don't whine and cry to me about not having water to drink because it's all nasty because you didn't get water purification stuff that's portable. You're not going to be able to live in your houses. The cities are going to be total murderous chaos. You're going to have to do what it says. You're going to have to flee to the mountains. You're going to have to go. You're going to have a go bag and a wagon or something to pull behind you. And all your family members are going to have to bear their load, and they're going to have enough stuff to make it through the tribulation. You're not going to have gas heat. You're not going to have air conditioning. If all this stuff in Revelations happened, everything's going to shut down, folks. All this stuff falling down out of the sky, you might have EMP blasts and it'd take out the whole power grid. You're going to have roving gangs of maniacs, much worse than what we've got right now. You're going to have the government thugs looking to save their own butt because there's not going to be any law at that point. And the government thugs with guns will shoot you and take your supplies because they're trying to survive too. And it's going to be as bad for them as it is for anybody else. Oh, yeah, they'll have some MREs. But for those of us who know what an MRE tastes like, So, You're going to have hunting stuff. May have to take a deer. May have to cast fish if you can find a stream that's not poison. You're going to have to filter your water. You're going to have a big pot or a tub and take stand-up baths. Have a little plastic thing where you can go in there and have hot water that you heat over a fire and stand on a plastic mat and take a stand-up bath, even if it's 20 degrees outside. Because you're not going to have heat. You can't build a fire for heat because it gives away your position to enemy troops. You're going to have to hide out. It's going to be ugly, ugly, ugly. It's not going to be convenient. You have to endure and survive. Because if you think the conditions in the cities are bad now, even with the gangs and the rioting and the black-on-white crime, it is nothing compared to what it's going to be. Everybody's going to be killing everybody in these cities. They will kill you over a pack of crackers. Yahweh is giving us the instructions on what we're to do. He's giving us the warnings. A lot of the things that are going to be aimed at, directly aimed at those who don't know Yahweh, will also affect us. If he's going to wipe out streams and rivers and drop rocks from the sky and do this and do that, I can't tell you, because most people would have packed up and gone home or not even come to the feast because the weather was unpleasant. Well, what are you going to do when you're living out in the wilderness because you can't go near your house because some gang of thugs and crackheads is living in it and they'll shoot anything in the neighborhood? What are you going to do then? Well, I want to go get warm. Well, that's just too bad about what you want. Now, when Yahshua comes back, it's all going to change. But until he comes back during the time of actual tribulation, we are going to have to rely on our Israelite brothers and sisters to support each other. But you, as an Israelite, are going to have to do your part. And your part right now, before it hits, is to get yourself and your family prepared for very, very, very harsh conditions. And if you do not, you have no one to blame for the hardship on your family but yourself. If you gather a bunch of stuff that is practical, it can sit in your go bags in your closet and not hurt a thing. Because you've got it. And when you need it, you will have it. But if you do not prepare and you put it off and you put it off and you procrastinate and procrastinate and you need it and you don't have it, you're hit. Because you cannot expect everybody else to give you everything you need and put their own families at risk. You're going to have to take personal responsibility for yourself and your families. You need medical supplies. You need warm weather clothing. You need wet weather clothing. You need shelter. A good quality tent. Don't try to buy the cheapest thing you can find. Buy a good one because it's going to have to hold up for a couple of years. You're going to have camouflage clothing. Probably weaponry. Okay, I hate to say that. We're going to have to fight. Because the beast of the field has no compassion for our people. They have no compassion now when there is law, so-called. And when there is no law, they will do whatever they do. They're going to go completely tribal again. And you know how the brute beast will act. You see, you hear it all the time on David James on Black on White Crime. That'll be widespread and prevalent. It won't be an isolated incident here and there. They see you and you have something and they want it, they're going to take it. And they'll kill you and probably sexually abuse your wives and children and then kill them. Ooh, that's nasty. You bet it's nasty. It's damn nasty. We're not talking about, oh, we have to go camping for a couple of weeks. No, you're going to have to go camping for a couple of years. Years. People way out in the boonies, they have a better chance at it. But if you get a bunch of people and you bunker up, that puts all of you and all of your supplies in one spot, and you can't match the military power that'll come against you to take your stuff and kill you. They're not going to help you, and there's going to be those among us that are going to want to go over to the enemy thinking that they'll get a better deal. And those people will rat you out. They'll sing like the Vienna Boys Choir in order to get a pack of crackers. They'll totally break down. You're going to have to deal with those people if they show signs that they're going to do that. And you're going to have to do unpleasant things. Because if they're going to go and they're going to tell everything, they're going to put your whole group at risk. They'll get you killed by being a rat. So you're going to have to decide on how you're going to deal with that particular person, even if you have known them for quite some time. If they're going to get your family killed, you're going to have to make some hard decisions, brothers and sisters. Because I've seen it too many times. I've seen it. Been there. Done that. They get in a little bit of trouble and boy, they just fall apart. They talk tough around the campfire, but when they got handcuffs on, the whole world changes. I did twice the time in prison because I wouldn't talk. Nobody got busted because of me. Nobody in the militia, nobody in Christian Identity. I kept my mouth shut and they threw the book at me. And I stood and took it. Now, how many of them do you know that won't do that? I have no respect for a snitch. How many moles are in these organizations out here? The Klan and the Nazi Party and this and that and all the other stuff. How many of them are FBI agents? And they make a list. Go to a Klan rally, there's three Klansmen and 25 FBI agents. Oh, man. I mean, it's not what it used to be. The times are not back then. Those times are gone. We have to look at what's going on now and what's coming in the future. We have to do a reality check in our lives. Stop living in a fantasy world where everybody's a brother, because everybody isn't a brother. We're watching white race traders left and right. In the news media, in politics, in these organizations. Oh, we got all these people that are patriots. Patriots to what? United States is gone. Quit trying to rebuild the United States. There's only going to be one righteous government, and that's the kingdom of Yahweh under Yeshua Messiah. Everybody's all up in arms over these bombings. Oh, Trump did this and Trump did that. It's all smoke and mirrors, folks. What are you going to do if things break down and we really do get into a war and something goes off and the power grid goes down? I don't think North Korea is going to do anything but throw rocks. I'm not worried about Assad. Now, we all know who the enemy is, the children of the devil, the Antichrist Zionist Jew, but the most dangerous enemy is the group of people that are traitors within our own race, that hate our own race, the Judeo-Christians. Many of them hate us because we teach the truth and they can't stand the truth. They're believing the lies and the deceptions, and they like their ears tickled. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not in the business of tickling ears. Oh, you're just a grouchy old man, Steve. How do you think I got to be old? With all the stuff I've done in my life, how do you think I made it? I made it by being a tough, gnarly old man. And that's what it's going to take, but it's going to have to be tough, gnarly young men that love their race and love Yahweh and put Him before everything else. And stop worshiping stuff out in the world and start worshiping Yahweh and taking care of their Israelite brothers and sisters instead of ratting them out and turning on them and bleeding them dry, emulating the Jews with their illicit business practices. And a lot of our own brothers and sisters are part and parcel to that. They do the very thing that the enemy has trained them to do, which is bleed their own brothers and sisters dry. How many wars have we fought at the behest of these vipers, killing our own kindred for the false flag of patriotism? We in Israel owe allegiance to no one but Yahweh. No flag, no country, no system of government, because we're scattered all over the world. We are in dispersion. Yahweh first, and the heck with everything else, because Yahweh will take care of everything else, but only if we are obedient to Him. Stop worshiping stuff. Stop worrying about stuff. Start worrying about your eternal life. Start worrying about keeping your family alive during this horrendous time of trouble that's going to come upon us. This is nothing today compared with what is coming. The tip of the iceberg. How can I convince you of this? What do I have to show you other than what's going on in the real world to convince you of the peril that we are going to be in? Yes, we trust in Yahweh, but He also expects us to act. He expects us to be Israelite warriors. We are not to turn the other cheek to the beast of the field. We are not to turn the other cheek to minions of the enemy, even if they are of our own race. We are not to turn the cheek to the usurers and the Talmud-worshipping Jew. Scripture tells us what we are to do with them. Second Thessalonians. Here we go again. Chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, those are the enemies of Israel that are afflicting us and will afflict us, and to give you who are afflicted, that would be us, Israel, rest with us when Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven, pardon me, with his mighty messengers, those are avenging angels, killer angels, not cute little cherubs, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim. That would be Yahweh. How many of our brothers and sisters in Israel don't know Yahweh? They know the Jewish Jesus. What a shame. And on those who do not obey, oh, that horrible four-letter word, obey, the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who gave us instructions what to do, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength, when he comes to be esteemed in his set-apart ones, that would be us, Christian identists that believe and call upon the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. We are set apart and to be admired among all those who believe in that day. That's the day of the wrath of Yahweh. Because our witness to you was believed. Those who preached and taught the words of Yeshua, which were the words of the Father. Amplified. If you turn your back on Yahweh after proclaiming that you believe in Yeshua and you go over to the system because you are afraid for your own life here and you want your creature comforts and you do, if you reverse your course, you lose your salvation, you lose your eternal life, you will be numbered among the accursed. You have to endure to the end, even unto death. Why? You can't say if somebody was putting a gun to your head that you would proclaim Christ, and you better believe I would, because this is only a temporary abode. It's a test, even unto death. Death is inevitable if we live long enough. Nobody avoids it. The crucial thing is, who do you choose while you're still in this body? Who do you proclaim as your Lord and Savior while you're still alive? Because if you deny him before mankind, he's going to deny you before the Father. And if you turn on him just to save your own life, you're going to lose your eternal life. Oh, you'll live till you die here. And as soon as you give the enemy enough information, they'll just shoot you in the head anyway because you're no longer of use. And they don't want to have to feed you. So you're going to trust them? Oh, come on, guys. Since when does the governmental agency of the beast have compassion on our people? Since when? White genocide is going on. They know it. And what are they doing to help us? Nothing. They're aiding and abetting the enemy. It's a time for a reality check, folks. That's the title of this sermon. Reality check. Oh, I'll start getting ready next week. And it's always next week. And next week, it'll be another next week. Be another next week. And another next week. How often do you sit down with your children and teach them Scripture? How often? That's one of the primary things you must do. Educate your children in the Word. Because it will be a spiritual battle as well as a physical battle. We are arrayed against the prince and power of the air. Against principalities and evil in high places. Government agents, judges, congressmen, senators. Presidents. Prime ministers of other nations. Multi-millionaire, gazillionaire Jews like George Soros. He's untouchable because of his money. Well, they all know about him. Oh, we ought to indict him. We ought to do this. We ought to do that. Okay. Who has Trump surrounded himself with? Put your hope in Trump? You gonna be a chump for Trump? Don't put your hope in anybody but Yeshua Messiah. Because there's no man that runs for political office that has not sold himself to the children of the devil. He's got them all around him. He's a dancing puppet at this point. And you see that. What's the reason to go get Assad? No central bank. No Jewish bank. What's the reason to go after North Korea? No central bank. It's all it is. And when you don't go along with the Jews' plan, they make war. And they use us to do it. Israel, I didn't bomb Assad. We did at the request of the Jews. Same way with Gaddafi. No central bank. Now he's dead. Who killed him? We did. Why? Because the Jews made us do it. They gave the marching order and we just marched. Reality check, folks. Reality check. We in Christian Identity know who the children of the devil are. But so many of us, so very, very many of us will not physically make an effort to do something in our personal lives to counter their moves. We just let them go on. Oh yeah, we know who the children of the devil are. Yeah, but what are you doing about it in your personal life? Because if you don't do something, reality is going to reach out and slap you upside the head, and unfortunately, your family with you. And it's not going to be pretty. And you don't have anybody else to point the finger at except the guy in the mirror. I'm ready. I have water. I have food. I have a go bag. Even with my bad knees, I've got knee braces and a cane and a walking stick. I have my stuff ready. I'm good to go. I'm not telling you to do something I'm too lazy to do myself. I camped in a tent during the pouring down rain down there. And was warm and dry. And had hot coffee on days when we're not allowed to have a fire. On a Sabbath day, because I kept the Sabbath. And Yahweh revealed a lot of things to me on that little trip, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the big one is Tabernacles in the fall. That's more likely when Yeshua is going to return at one of these Feasts of Tabernacles. I'm not saying this year. I'm not a prophet, not making predictions. But that's the time when he will pitch his tent among us, as it says in Scripture. That feast you must attend. You must stay in a brush booth or live in a tent, not going into the house to sleep. You sleep outside. You cook outside. You eat outside. If it is pouring down rain and hail, you do it outside. You don't go in to take a hot shower until you have completed the day's duties. You'd come back out to sleep. You sleep outside. A tent is a booth or brush shelter. A lot of us don't have the ability to make all of that, cutting down limbs and doing all that. And it's not rainproof. They slept in brush booths in the desert where there was no rain. But here and elsewhere, a tent, okay? It's the keeping of that feast and the observance of it that Yahweh looks for. And it is a preparation time for you to get ready to go through the tribulation. Simulating what you're going to have to go through when you're going to have to leave. And you're not going to have all the creature comforts. Practice, practice, practice. Like your body that you're living in now is only a testing ground, this feast is so very important for you to prepare yourself for the time of the tribulation. That's your reality check right there. I will be at the Feast of Tabernacles sleeping in a tent this fall, as I have done. I keep the feasts, and so should you. Well, I'm almost out of time here. It's time to play the bumper music, and I will talk to you on my word-to-word shows during the week. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Shalom Aleichem.